Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Los Angeles, California. Welcome to The Late Late Show. I'm your host, TV's Craig Ferguson. Please sit down, relax. It's going to be a bit different tonight. A bit of a different show. My father, Robert Ferguson, died on Sunday. And I was in Scotland last week, and I said goodbye. So tonight, it may not be a flowing or accomplished piece of television that you're going to see, but I don't care. And I want to tell you, if I get weepy and I don't want any slow camera zooming in and music and stuff like that, you don't need to manufacture the drama. My heart's broken, my father's dead, that's enough. Now listen, I pride myself on being honest when I come out and do this. I feel the deal I've made with you over the time I've been here that I come out and talk about what's on my mind. And if I didn't do this, it would be shameful. So I've got to talk about this tonight. I didn't feel right, you know, coming out and doing my usual complaining about Starbucks, you know, and there's... But I'll be back on them tomorrow night, you know. I the half-assed impression of Sean Connery will be back tomorrow. Michael Caine will be back in space. There'll be frisky ponies and cheeky monkeys and emails and the rest of that nonsense. That'll be tomorrow night. But, And tonight will not, it won't all be somber. My father was 75 years old. He lived a very full life. He did everything that he set out to do. And it's not going to be we're not going to be sitting shiva all week with this. We're doing this once tonight and we're saying goodbye. Where I come from, there's in the Celtic tradition, it's kind of a wake. What we do is we talk about a person's life. There's a lot of drinking usually. I won't be doing that. I think others may get involved in that, but for other obvious reasons, I don't do that. But we tell favourite stories about the person that's passed, and they're not always very flattering for that person either. It's kind of a roast in sometimes. It's a celebration of a human being with faults and quirks and all the idiosyncrasies that go with being a person. And my father was certainly that. My father was born on St. Patrick's Day in 1930, which was a source of great pride to his Irish Catholic mother and some consternation to his Scottish Protestant father, I have to tell you. And he grew up he was from a poor background. He grew up in Glasgow in Scotland during World War II. And Glasgow was bombed heavily during the war, and all the kids were evacuated out of the cities and put to work on the farms in the countryside to escape the German bombing. And it was supposed to be some kind of idyllic reprieve, but my father's experience was more like a Dickensian workhouse. It didn't really work out well for him. And I know it was very tough for him, and he didn't talk a lot about it, but it was 6 years when he was there that it was just awful. And he had a very tough childhood, and from where he started to where he ended up was a journey so incredible and vast that it's too much for me to hope to emulate. My father spent 2 years in the British Army stationed in Germany. He worked in the post office in Scotland for 44 years. He started as a telegram boy, delivering telegrams on ex-army, Norton ex-army bikes, where you change the gear by taking your hand off the handlebars. It's called the suicide shift. They were too poor to emulate Marlon Brando in The Wild One with the silk scarf, so they used to wear white tea towels to look like Americans. I've lived in America 11 years. I've never seen anybody wearing a white tea towel. But I'm still looking. Anyway, by the time my dad retired, he had about 600 men working for him at the Edinburgh post office in the capital of Scotland. He was the chief inspector and he was the boss, and he went all the way up and he did it through hard work. He was a Scottish nationalist, my father. He believed in an independent Scotland. He also believed in this place. He believed in America. And he believed in the opportunity it offered. My father introduced me to America, literally. He brought me here when I was 13, just me and him. We went to, used to get cheap airfares from Freddie Laker, and I think it was like $100 or something. And we came over and we visited my father's brother, my Uncle James, who had moved to Long Island. And And I've talked here and I've talked lyrically often about the summer I spent there as a teenager at 13 years old. And I talked to my father about it recently. He said, "Where did you get the idea I get the whole summer off work? We were there 3 weeks." But in my mind, it was a life-changing experience. I fell in love with America then. I decided then to come back. And my father, thanks. My father believed in hard work. And I believe that's how my father expressed love. There's something spiritual in hard work. I think spirituality is not all about aromatherapy and scented candles. I think for my dad it was about getting up early and working hard and making a better life for his kids, and that's what this man did. Every Christmas in the post office there was something called the pressure. The mail started to build up and more mail, and all the postal workers were, working 12-hour shifts all the time. It was crazy amount of work they were doing. And now I think it's called going postal. Then it was called... And he worked his ass off the whole month of December. But every Christmas morning, he would wake up with me and my brother and my sisters and help put the presents together. He must have been bone tired. But he did it. And he never mentioned how tired he was. But I think he must have been tired. My father also, he was in charge of postal workers. These are postal workers in Glasgow. They were tough men. They're not, they're not guys who say, "I'm lactose intolerant. Can we get soy in the cafeteria?" They weren't guys like that. And my dad was he's a big man, my father. And he had a buzz cut, he made him look like he had a scrubbing brush, it made him look like that. And that was his nickname. He was called Big Scrubber. And the postal workers used to see me, "You big scrubbers boy," And so I would say, "I'm little scrubber, I'm wee scrubber." But I could never really live up to that. When I was broke, my dad gave me a job as a temporary worker in the post office. It was in December, and it was back in the day when I was still drinking, and I got drunk, and I was an hour late for work, and my father was the boss. And I showed up at 5 a.m. instead of 4 a.m. It was, and another worker told me, "Your father knows you were late and he's got a special assignment for you." And what he did was he sent me to Glasgow Airport to load mail bags onto the planes in December. And I've never been so cold in my life. And remember, Glasgow's on the same latitude as Moscow. And I had a terrible hangover. I was late because I'd been drunk. But I was never late for work again, I'll tell you that. My father was a great whistler. I don't know if that's important, but I remember it. He could do that vibrato thing. It's fantastic. And he loved the Roadrunner cartoons. I've said that here. It really made him laugh. I know. I don't get it either, but he loved the Roadrunner. He also loved the Tweety Bird. Tweety Bird and Sylvester. He loved how stupid Sylvester was. I don't know why. "I can't stupid that. Bird wins all the time. That's just..." I loved watching television with my dad. He had very unique viewing habits, me and him. I went to a school called Cumbernauld High School. The town was Cumbernauld, where I was. And whenever nature documentaries would come on TV with, monkeys all scratching each other's asses and everything, my dad would say, "Oh, there's Cumbernauld High School coming out." And I don't know why it made me laugh, but it did. And he... Over and over again for years. And when we'd watch a horror film, whenever it was a scary horror picture on TV, during the tense bit where the monster was kind of round the corner or something, my dad was always, say, "Mind your back, mind your back." And I pretended that it didn't freak me out, but it really freaked me out when he did. And when I was watching television with him, I used to sit in front of him. And he would sit behind me and he'd put his hand on my head. And I loved that. And he did it last week in the hospital. Probably the first time in 35 years or something. From his bed, he put his hand on my head like that, It was amazing. It was great. It was a man of few words, my dad. I get the talking from my mother's side of the family, but But I was never in any doubt about that he loved me. He wasn't from a generation of people that said, son, we need to talk about our feelings, you know, let's hug. He was not. My dad would just say, aye. And, but you knew what he meant when he said, aye, you know. And the relationship that I had with my, that I have with my father is not unlike the relationship I have with the old country. With Scotland, I complain about it, I grumble about it, I can be mean about it sometimes, but I love it beyond reason. It's where I'm from, it's what I am. And last week, we were cleaning out some stuff we were going to make, you know, the room more comfortable for him when he got out of hospital. Anyway, we were cleaning out some stuff, and my sister found a letter of commendation from his bosses at the post office. Seems this thing had been written in 1961. He'd had it in his pants since 1961. About a fight had broken out in the mail trains where he used to work, and he'd stopped it. You know, he'd got in the way, and people were very grateful. It was a terrible incident. And the incident was dated September 1961. Now, I was born in May 1962. So, you know, the commendation was around about the time I was conceived. And I mentioned that to my father in hospital last week. You know, I said, that was a big month. And he said, aye. And he was a strong man, my dad. We didn't always get along. Anybody that knows me knows I've got some opinions about stuff. We got it straight, you know, years ago. But when I was a teenager, you know, that the night after my sister's wedding, we got into a fight. Well, not really a fight. He said if I didn't stop being a jerk, he'd hit me, and I ran away. But we were. But I want to tell you about who he was. When I went into rehab, I was in the south of England, and my parents took the bus. My mother and father took the bus all the way from Scotland to this place in England, this rehab in England, a very alien environment for them. And they came into this room in the treatment centre, and they sat, the counsellor was there, and, you know, everyone's sitting down, and we're all going to have the family talk. And my father said, just before we start, everybody, let me just say, Craig, I am not going to stop drinking. I said, all right, you don't need to stop drinking. It's about me stopping drinking. Anyway, I want to tell you something that happened last week. My father had a mantra. He had a thing. He always used to, when I was going to the show business, he my mother said, get a trade. You must get a trade. You must, you know, have something to fall back on. But my father didn't say anything like that. He just said, do a job that you love. Job satisfaction. And you can be anything you want to be. As long as you have job satisfaction, you can be anything you want to be. And he kept repeating that. My brother and I used to tease him about it. Job satisfaction, anything you want to be. And we were in the hospital last week in Scotland, and my father was dying, and he knew he was dying. My son was there with me. He's 4 and a half. And my son was in, and he drew a picture from my dad of some trees and, you know, a beautiful day, and we put it up on the wall. And he sang my dad, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know, which everybody wants to hear when they're in pain, and it's the middle of January, and my son sang him the whole thing, you know, Dasher and Dancer and the whole thing, and he got through that. But then something happened. My son said, oh, I've got a great idea, and he went underneath my dad's hospital bed, and he said, I'm going to sing a song, and you can't see me. For some reason, he thought that'd be very funny. Yeah? Maybe I'll try it here one night. And then, and he sang, just as my father was lying in my bed, my son sang a song that he picked up from one of the kids, you know, all these endless kids' albums that come out. My life's full of them. And my son sang this. We were sitting there with my dad in the great drama of the deathbed, and my son sang, you can be anything you want to be. You can be. And I saw my dad, even in the pain, you know, something like that, and a smile crept across his face. And it was fantastic. I miss him. You didn't know him. That's your loss. He was a great man. And it's hard to say goodbye to people. It's hard to say goodbye to your parents. And when I left my dad, we got it straight. I said goodbye to him, and I couldn't speak. So a gesture came to me, which I felt worked, and I think he knew it as well. I punched my chest and I threw him my heart. Good night, Dad.